Hello. I don't even know which microphone is mine, but one of them is. Hey, this is Afternoon Tea at the Aquarium with Robin Police and Doc Normal.
Hello.
Yeah, while he's getting everything ready, I will tell you what I tried to play as I attempted to get my new mixer off the ground. And apparently I don't know how to use mixing software, so I defaulted to my normal setup. Started with RAC, who's actually from Portland, Oregon, with his remix of Sonic Springyard Zone and Chemical Plant Zone from Sonic 2. Then I have Callum Bowen and Mushiba with Winter Valentine, Toy, Golden Fish in Pool, Kenmei Adachi with Ua Ua, the Eaton song from the Loco Roco OST, of Montreal with Lysergic Bliss, Aleki Bass, All the People Come, Let's Get Down, they're great live, Cafe Tacuba with Mediodía, El Guincho with Cuando Maravilla Fui, and then a band whose name I'm probably going to butcher because I'm not that familiar with African languages, but it's off of the Indestructible Beat of Soweto compilation. It's called Sini Lindley. And that was the set.
This is Radio Havana, Cuba.
This is Radio Pyongyang of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
This is Moscow.
I just made that up.
Ooh, electronica nista. That's kind of a lot of syllables
in it. Afternoon tea at the aquarium.
I mean, I didn't get into this to, like, eat things. Last night, trying to eject a French film out of my VCR.
That sounds terrible.
With Doc Normal.
Can you fix this?
And Robin Police.
There's people in there, and they're dancing, and then the colors change, and then it's great, and then your screensaver kicks in.
Hey!
I'm Robin Police. Have you tried, like, a dial of cheese?
It's very morning zoo.
On House of Sound.
Oh, God. All right. We're here. It's House of Sound. Afternoon tea at the aquarium. I'm already sick of that intro. I'm Doc Normal, and I'm with...
Robin Police.
Hello, Robin Police.
Hello, Doc Normal.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic after my slip-up.
And you were doing fun. Oh, for the you've got a new setup, right?
Yeah, I got this great little mini mixer, and it's really adorable. But I found out that it's really hard to learn how to use this stuff on the air.
What'd you get?
Oh, it's a cute Newmark DJ to go. It's adorable, and I'm using some open source software called Mix with three X's.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah,
you can get that on the Mac, I think.
I got it working more or less this weekend, and then I don't know what happened.
So you didn't test it before you came in to
yeah.
Launch the rocket.
Yeah, so there was a minor kaboof.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's okay. I had a backup playlist that I...
It didn't work?
Well, it's not that it didn't work. It's that I forgot that I have a bajillion hours of music spread across two hard disks.
Oh.
And so I had to account for the lots of the musics.
Gotcha. So yeah. Next week, maybe.
Yeah, next week.
It's kind of a DJ thing. It's like a DJ Surface thing, right? Like a
Cool. It's cute. It's got little knobs.
We have the DJ before us, the show before us. He uses
He uses them fancy records.
Yeah, he uses two red records.
Time code records.
Yeah, that go into like a digital interface device and then go into
tractor.
His laptop.
He's got his tractor and he's going...
Yeah, so he actually DJs on the turntables with the mixer, but triggers the laptop.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. So I was inspired by this setup.
Everyone is listening to the show going, this is your tech podcasting show, Tech Talk.
Why is it that all of my shows end up tech related?
Yeah.
This is really obnoxious. I won't tell you what I...
Welcome to Tech Talk. I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm that other person. Brought to you by the Ford Focus.
Exactly. Oh, actually, we do have a sponsor. No, not really. Look, I brought something.
It's tea?
Peace tea. Peace tea.
A pasty?
Peace. Yeah, really.
I can just stick one on each boob.
I didn't bring Rockstar.
Oh, no. Rockstar's
peace tea. Speaking of which,
If you're going to use Rockstar, you might as well just use Viso and be all local and crap.
But Rockstar has the scantily clad bikini misogynistic marketing.
If I wanted misogynistic marketing, I'd make it myself.
Rockstar is the GoDaddy of drinks. I'm serious.
That was great. Can I quote you on that?
Yes.
I'll overheard you on Twitter.
Quick, tweet it. It's like, I mean, I'm doing all this reading about all this stuff that's going on in, should we call it feminism, not feminism?
Oh,
you know?
can we call it the internet trolls have woken up and they won't be quiet because their mom hasn't told them to go back to bed?
Right, but then you walk in and you look at Rockstar, GoDaddy, and all this stuff. And, you know, you're down at South by Southwest, which is, I don't know, maybe kind of misogynistic, too. Hello?
Dude-tastic misogyny?
So anyway, I got Peace Tea. Look, Peace Tea, it has a peace sign on it. There's nothing sexist about a peace sign, right?
Are you sure? Just give me some time. I'll come up with something.
I was going to say, unless you're... traipsing around in the nude in the mud at Woodstock wearing a peace sign, that might be
different. Well, yeah, but even then,
but that's
it
free
was
love. That's not.
Oh, I was gonna say, I would the 60s were only pretty much good to men. Well, I guess they were good to women, and then there was the second wave feminism.
And
it gets complicated. Really, I think the 70s were a lot better in some ways.
The 60s is where it started, man.
Right, but they didn't actually get any traction. It was mostly like dudes being the man all of a sudden. Thank you for my limited history report.
I'm just sitting here thinking, this week on feminism, Robin Police and Doc Normal. Okay, so what are we going to drink here? I've got two. We're doing a tea tasting for afternoon tea at
the
aquarium.
We need a little bell.
Ding 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 ding. Actually, you know what? How about this for tea tasting? How about? Oh, wait, that's our theme.
No, that's...
Welcome to tea tasting.
Tea tasting.
Okay.
Pinkies up!
Now we've turned into Anarchy Radio. So I've got green tea unsweetened and tea lemonade. Should we start with the green tea?
Sure. We'll start... I don't know if
green
I
can... tea.
You know, I could actually start. Oh my god, do you want me to play the song I wrote about coffee this weekend?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh wait, one of us should actually fill in while I'm.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking.
Should I keep this going?
Okay. No, that would.
Here is the green tea. Here, use your other arm.
I've only got two arms. Really, what I need is a production assistant.
Yeah, we do. By the way, if anyone out there wants to call in, the number is 503.
Oh.
We never can find it anymore.
That's because it's too small. I found it, though. If you
575.
9344.
Okay. Okay, cheers. Here's green tea. Is that on this?
Wow, this tastes kind of...
It's kind of sweet.
Oh, I was going to say it kind of something. I don't even have words to describe this one.
It tastes like the typical kind of tea in a can. You know, there's Peace Tea, there's Snapple, there's Arizona Tea. But that's what it tastes like. All right. I have no idea what's going on here. So we were talking science stories. This week in science stories.
This week in science stories and me not being... We need to cut that. Thank
okay.
you.
All
I'm
right.
so confused.
Okay. This week in science stories, you mentioned a science story about a little girl that found a dinosaur bone. So
yeah.
I was looking through the science stories and I didn't see it.
How did you not see that? That was all over.
Did I use Google?
Well, but that was all over the everything.
Was it on Reddit? So some little girl found a dinosaur bone.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I didn't read the story.
Well, I only half read the story.
What is the motherfucking... fucking story.
I wish I knew, actually.
Okay.
I'm not a journalist.
All right.
So, but I play one on TV.
I thought this was a. I thought this was Portland's answer to journalism.
if this is Portland's answer to journalism.
Journalism in 2013.
I will say that we are slightly better than the Oregonian. But
thank
it's
you.
Not hard.
Thanks for offending all my friends who work at the Oregonian.
I'm sorry. Hey, guys that work at the Oregonian, can you tell your bosses to let you actually write stories?
Okay. So science news. So the only stuff I saw in science news was antimatter. There was that. They measured some of that. Magnetic field. And then there was the speed of light. And the headline was... The speed of light is not a constant anymore. I mean, that was kind of like what the headline implied.
It's kind of poetic, actually.
That was what the headline implied. And then when you read about it, it's like they just, all they said is, no, it's still a constant in a vacuum, but in space, space isn't a perfect vacuum. So the speed of light travels a little bit differently in space because it's not a freaking perfect vacuum. They totally messed with my head. Like, I thought that there was something, like, really big, like, oh, my God, a new discovery about the speed of light. No, it's still a constant.
What if space were one of us?
Oh, God.
And then we would know that space is not perfect.
Are you sure we don't have more music?
Oh, well, I was just going to play my favorite song from Jurassic Park the Musical, a.k.a. JP the Musical.
Okay.
In honor of the celebration of... the bones.
Finding a dinosaur bone.
Yeah.
That we know nothing about.
So it's a pterodactyl, actually.
Okay.
It's a very, very small crow-sized pterodactyl.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I had to think about it for a little bit.
So some little girl was walking along
internet.
And it's like, what's this?
Actually, yeah. And then she found it. And people looked at it and they were like, holy crap, you found this thing that's new.
How cute. Where was this?
I have no idea. I told you, I'm not prepared to do talky parts of the show. I'm only prepared to do la-la-la parts of the show.
I sent you stuff, too.
Well, of course you did, but I was also attempting to pretend to work at work.
Okay. Well, let's listen to Jurassic Park. Let's do that. Oh. This is in honor of a kindergartner
who
found a dinosaur bone.
That's our cue.
That's our cue. Hey. And we're back.
I should probably mention that band is called Savage and the Big Beat, and they have more stuff on their Bandcamp, and they're from Denton, Texas.
Oh.
My alma mater school town.
Friends of yours?
I've actually never met them, but I feel like any musician in Denton is a friend of mine regardless.
I know. It's like, oh, they're from Denton? You must know them, right?
Well, it is
a small
town. They're
from Portland. You must know them, right?
Actually,
Portland is a small town, too.
Yeah, I would say that Denton is actually a bigger town in some ways, because there's no way I know these two guys.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Isn't Denton outside of DFW somewhere?
Well, it's 30 to 45 minutes outside of Dallas.
Okay.
There's nothing there.
You should have the Dallas theme, right?
No, I hate that. That's terrible. When I think of Dallas, I think of raves.
Yeah, Dallas is an interesting town. Are you ready for...
I gotta slam this one! Hold on!
You ready for the next one? In honor of Dallas, our piece tea is called Caddyshack Tea and Lemonade. Tea and Lemonade. 99 cents.
Oh, Lord.
At the Milwaukee Mini Mart.
I really wish that I could...
Oh, this one sort of looks like tea.
No, I was just thinking, I really wish I could do a Dallas accent.
Dallas?
Yeah, Dallas.
Ooh.
Ew.
Ew. Looks like somebody. Okay, this tea looks like somebody
sample.
Who had a kidney problem. Yeah.
I do feel like I should. I'm scared.
I know.
Hold my hand.
It smells. Ugh. No, I don't know.
don't smell it. Just.
Ew. This stuff sucks.
Wait, let me see. Hold on.
Ooh. What is that taste? It's like...
It's like citric acid tablets.
It's like lemon Tums. It's lemon Tums, lemon flavored Tums. That's what that is.
I could just, you know, for cheaper, I could just eat lemon flavored Tums.
At 6 o'clock, we'll be like, look, Jay, we got you some tea. How about it? You'll love it.
I think Mr. DJ Highway 7 would not appreciate it.
I can drink the green tea.
See, I like Mr. DJ Highway 7.
Well, that was disappointing.
That was horrible, but that's okay. That's part of the show.
Lemon flavored Tums.
We
really do need to get sponsors and taste their products online. Speaking of which,
it's part of our cooking show.
Yeah, speaking of which, I tasted a lot of products on Saturday.
Ooh, what'd you taste?
In Seattle.
Ooh.
At the Vegetarian Festival.
I know that Seattle has some really fantastic vegan pizza. Better than here.
I didn't have any pizza.
Oh.
I had, they just had all the vegan things. They had the people with the Indian food and the tortillas and all that. They've got really good naan.
Roti?
Yeah, or whatever.
No, roti. I only like roti. Naan can go to hell. Sorry for the rest of the Indian listeners.
Naan. Yeah. Like, as I'm sure that we have many.
I didn't mean to erupt some, like...
God, maybe we should post this show on Craigslist Bangalore. Mumbai.
I don't know.
Interesting one is I was hungry, and so I was it was like 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, and I was hungry, and so I'm going around there, and it was pretty cool. I mean, lots of stuff, and there was a guy that had like sausages, and so he had like bratwurst, and he was like, it's imported from Germany.
It
was
wow.
Like, yeah, and he had like, you know, meat, Texas steak meat.
Ew.
It was all like, you know, fake meat. All that fake meat stuff.
And oh, but it was imported?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I know.
Texas has fake meat?
I guess so.
When did this happen?
There's vegans in Texas.
There are.
Wait, were you a vegan when you were in Texas?
I was a vegetarian.
All right, there you go.
Yeah. Well, people thought I was a vegetarian for a long time, and so I just decided that I would become vegetarian.
Right. Anyway, so just got a whole bunch of free food and stuff. And, got this drink. I've been trying to take a picture of it. It's one of those chia drinks. That's what we really have to take. Chia drinks.
My ex-coworker was really into chia.
I drink those.
I'm fascinated by it, but also
confused. It's kombucha
confused.
And chia. That's what we could do. Kombucha tasting. Kombucha.
Kombucha.
Kombucha. I don't know. That's like a whole thing. I mean, if anyone listens to this show, like, I can imagine Irk, our friend Irk in Australia. I don't know that he knows what that is. It's like, what are they talking about?
Let's explain kombucha for the home audience. Kombucha is this weird fermented vinegary stuff.
It's vinegar.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Freaking vinegar.
Well,
that's what it is.
Well, some vinegars, though, like, they start out as wines and then they become vinegars.
Yes.
This just starts out as vinegar.
That.
It's like, so you brew some kind of tea and you put enough sugar in it so that the kombucha mama, or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
This big, round, blobby, gross thing that looks like a big sore, sits on top of the tea and ferments it for you. You have to be careful not to let it mold because the mold will disrupt the fermentation process. And then it gets done. And
then you drink it.
Yeah. And you can theoretically eat the mother, but you're not supposed to.
It's like... Yeah, it's basically drinkable vinegar.
Yeah, although
flavored.
Well, according to Pock Pock, even though I don't think Pock Pock is an authority on any kind of brown people food, they have drinking vinegar. No, they're great. I love their food. Don't get me wrong. I used to eat there like all the time. But
right. I can't remember the name of it, Sunrise or something. They're down in California. So they have these kombuchas that have chia seeds in them. And what happens with the chia seeds is when they get wet, they turn gelatinous. That's like chia seeds, like the stuff you put on the chia pet. Like, I was in Seattle. Follow the logic here.
Okay.
I was in Seattle. I was at the Space Needle. This place was at Seattle Center, this fest in one of the halls down there. Seattle Center, built 51 years ago for the 1962 World's Fair. The Space Needle and stuff, that was the future. We were going to have monorails. Everyone was going to live in a space needle. We were going to have flying cars and color televisions. You know what we got 50 years later?
color television?
Color televisions, and I'm drinking a Chia Pet.
Oh, I was also going to say they kind of have a monorail, and sometimes it works.
Monorails suck. They don't work.
Yeah. Yeah, but it gets you from point A to point B if your point A and point B are what they already
built.
That
is one damn short point A, because I did ride the monorail.
I have two.
It's the original thing. I mean, if you want to ride a monorail, go to Disneyland.
No.
I actually have a real one.
I actually felt like I was in Disneyland. I was going to Seattle for Mini Maker Fair / Random Hacks of Kindness.
So when I was a kid, I would think, What's life going to be like in the year 2000? Well, there's the Space Needle. And I went to the World's Fair in Spokane 10 years later.
Wow.
In the early 70s.
Holy crap.
And they always have the future. And I went to Tomorrowland at Disneyland, where they had flying cars, and someday you'll be watching color television and all that. And I was thinking, what is life going to be like in the 21st century? And life is, I'm sitting here talking into the microphone to you, and drinking chia seeds.
Oh, I was just thinking.
Random.
I'm pretty sure that Reagan stole the future, although I just like to blame everything on Reagan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of my scapegoat.
Wait.
What?
He's the father of Star Wars. Don't blame Reagan.
No. I like to blame Reagan. That's my thing.
If we would have let him do what he wanted to do, we would have a Death Star right now. We'd have a Death Star floating around.
But we still wouldn't have a monorail.
We'd be like, excuse me, North Korea? They'd be like, oh, shit, that's not a moon. That's a space station.
Would that by proxy make us part of the evil?
Well, we already are by
proxy. That's true.
Anyway.
That's true.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, we'd have Death Stars for everyone.
Well, if it makes
like,
you feel
oh,
any better.
Oh, look at my Death Star. Look at my Death Star.
At Goodwill, let's see, what was it? A few months ago, I found this great, I don't know what it is, but it's like a bottle that had booze in it that was commemorative from the Spokane World's Fair.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I must have something.
No, that must have been a while ago.
Have something.
Well, there's a whole lot of stuff. By the way, I've heard from my... Yes?
That's the other thing.
What?
That's the other thing.
What's the other thing?
If you told me that in the 21st century, I would have a communication device just like they have on Star Trek, which I'm holding in my hand right now. It's called an Apple iPhone. A fully communication device, all for the sole purpose of taking photographs and making them look like the Instamatic photos that I took in 1974 at the fucking World's Fair. If you told me that that's what I would be doing, a little kid me, that that's what I would be doing in the 21st century, I would have hit you.
Oh, I was just going to say the future is actually Back to the Future.
Yeah. Like the same photographs that I took when I was a kid, and I had an Instamatic. I took really nice Instamatic. I mean, I was like Instagram. Are the same photographs that we're now posting on Instagram.
I'm sorry.
Filters.
Do you want a refund on your future?
I do want a refund on my future.
Here's, I have a quarter.
Look, okay. Answer me this. It's the 21st century. How come we're not all wearing, like, silver lamé outfits?
I'm okay with that part.
You're wearing, what, black slacks, jeans? I'm wearing
black jeans,
Levi's.
Blue jeans.
I'm wearing Levi's. Pants that were invented in the 19th century.
I was going to say also in the old days, they had gusseted crotches, which means that I would have, if the past were actually the future, I would have chewed up less pants. I would actually have a net plus of pants right now.
I should currently be wearing silver pants with silver boots and a big silver belt buckle and have a ray gun with me.
Oh, I don't know what to tell you about the future. I don't think I dreamed of a future when I was a kid.
Did you ever think about the 20? This goes back to we mentioned Douglas Rushkoff, and
yeah,
he has that book called Present Shock, When Everything Happens Now. And his one of the points in the book is before the turn of the century, before the millennia, everyone kind of looked forward to that going into the next century and what we want to solve and change and the internet boom and all that. And his point was after that, you know, 12 years, 13 years into that, we don't have that. We're not kind of thinking pushing forward again. Everything's happening right now. What are we doing now? How are we solving the budget crisis now? How are we, you know, what's the latest app that I can have now? You know, everything's focused on that. Now, for me, I agree. We thought about that. We thought about that all the time. It's like, oh, things are going to be, you know, we're going to predict these things. Things are going to happen. You know, this is what it's going to be like in the future, right? What did you think about when you thought about the future? I mean, did you think about like the 21st century, or was it just like, meh?
Well, I didn't. It was really kind of stunning when the future happened, honestly. I'm still kind of like...
When did the future happen for you?
Well, I kind of got confused about
puberty.
No, it was much later than that. I think the first time I ever really thought about the future was 2008, maybe 2009.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were already in the future.
Well, but I didn't think of it as the future. And just now, like this year, now that it's past 2012, I've kind of realized I'm in the future, and I'm kind of confused about the whole thing. But yeah, as a kid,
you and me both.
I never considered the future. It was never really part of my... I mean, I did. I wondered what I would be like when I was 25, and then I was sorely disappointed. But
right.
I would say that I had no, like, the future... I don't know. The past was a lot more interesting to me.
The past future was more interesting.
Oh.
I have a love for
those
sci-fi things.
Well, no, the past. I was trying to like learn about like the 5+ generations of my family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got a big family history.
Right.
Yeah. So I was trying to piece that together as a kid.
Do you buy condoms?
Yes, sometimes.
How much do you pay for those?
Well, it depends. If you get them at Shebop for like one each, they're like $1 each, and they're not that good.
About $1 each? Okay. Again.
The average... I mean, I can run to Freddy's and tell you what the average condom box is.
Do you know how much a filthy rich person pays for a condom?
How much?
$100,000.
Mm-hmm.
$100,000. Bill Gates, arguably one of the richest people in the world. And I don't know if it's Bill and – I think it's Bill and Melinda Gates, his wife. I don't think – maybe she's in on this purchase too. They want to buy a $100,000 condom.
Well, it says the Gates Foundation, which could mean
it's,
that's just
Bill
about
– That's Bill and Melinda Gates. So it's
right.
Not just Bill Gates. It's
but
his wife wants the condom too.
I don't know if that's – but if it says the Gates Foundation, it's very easy to not – pick one person.
And here it is. Grand challenges in global health. Develop the next generation of condom. This is sponsored by the Gates Foundation. Grand challenges, exploration, round 11. They have these grand challenges, things that they put money into to make things better for the future. Oh, imagine that. Grand challenges, exploration, round 11, March 2013. Opportunity. I think condoms are always about opportunity. Some missed. gotta take that crusty thing out of my wallet. Opportunity. Male condoms are cheap, easy to manufacture, easy to distribute, and available globally, including in resource-poor settings, through numerous well-developed distribution channels. The current rate of global production is 15 billion units per year, with an estimated 750 million units and a steadily growing market. Imagine that. That's if you ever have to answer trivia, how many condoms are manufactured? They are almost condoms have almost universal product recognition.
What?
Oh boy.
Well, it's very easy to find them on the street.
Yeah, yeah. And your kid goes, "What's that?" It's a balloon. Move on. Don't touch it. Yeah, there are a few places condoms are not recognized or not available. One of which would be the Vatican. When used properly, they reliably protect females from pregnancy and both partners from numerous STIs, including HIV transmission, making them a prime example of a multi-purpose prevention technology, an MPT.
Are we getting all TLA up in here?
That's right. You need an MPT to protect your biological WMD. So, yeah, they go on and they go on. And then they talk about the major drawback to more universal use of male condoms is a lack of perceived incentive for consistent use. The primary drawback from the male perspective is that condoms decrease pleasure as compared to no condom, creating a trade-off that many men find unacceptable, particularly given that the decisions about use must be made just prior to intercourse. I think it's funny that they say that about the man, and they don't mention, I mean, I believe I've known women who don't like condoms as well.
Oh,
the way they feel.
Oh,
I mean, you know, not just always men.
Oh, I'm sorry. I take that part for granted.
Oh, that females don't like them as well?
No. Well,
men don't like them, but they single out men in this.
Well, right,
because the condom
dude's
round.
Got it. Well, because all of the contraceptive stuff, a lot of burden is placed on the woman, and there's only two that are actually really male specific, which are, you know, a vasectomy and condom usage.
Speaking of which, in the section of opportunity here on this is grandchallenges.org, they even say, likewise, female condoms. They bring up female condoms because there are actually female condoms.
Yes, I know. I've used them.
I never experienced that.
The guy didn't like them.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
I've never. Did you like it?
Scary. You know, I don't
was
really
it better
remember.
Than, all right.
It's to me, it's all about the same.
You can call the safe word if I ask too many questions.
No. I was thinking back about it, and I was like, well, it's not any. You know, it's to me, it's the same. You know, some dude sticks their thing in your bits.
Right. And so anyway, they talk about female condoms and that they are effective method, but they suffer from the same liabilities as male condoms, requiring proper insertion, training, and substantially more.
Oh wait, expensive. We don't do that. Hello, we don't do that here in this country. We only have, at least in Texas, we only have abstinence training.
Okay, so that's the opportunity. That's the opportunity.
There's zero opportunity to learn how to use this stuff correctly.
I think the point of this is that there's 15 billion units a year, and there's an opportunity there. I think they're trying to say that's a business opportunity. The challenge, although I don't know why they wrote it this way. The challenge, condoms have been in use for about, Robin, your guess?
Oh, a bajillion years?
400 years.
Oh, that's not as close to a bajillion as I would have liked.
I know, 400 years. I thought...
Well, you know, people had babies, but all of the babies died.
I thought the Romans
people kind of got sick and died
and stuff.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's really that effective.
No, but I thought that they did. Anyway, that's what they say, according to this, 400 years and have undergone very little technological improvement in the past 50 years. The primary improvement has been the use of latex as a primary material and quality control measures, which allow for quality testing of each individual condom. That I can attest to in my own lifetime, that I've noticed that condoms have gotten, because they kind of laser, they test them way better now.
Is that a thing? Was that a thing before?
Yes.
In the past?
Oh, yeah. You when you're like,
okay, wait, I got it.
And you needed to check that puppy out before you used it. Yeah.
In the past.
They failed.
The
they
condoms
broke.
Were crap,
mm-hmm.
But people use them. In the future... Nobody can use them because they're scared because of abstinence-only education. However, our condoms are superior in the future.
They are.
It is the paradox of the future.
Yeah, the testing was a big deal because I know when I, you know, was, you know, kind of, you know, your teenage years as you... Become,
sowing your seeds!
Yeah, and they could break. And that was a big shock, right? Anyway, so what they're saying is we are looking for a next generation condom that significantly preserves or enhances pleasure in order to improve uptake and regular use. Additional concepts, and they're willing to pay $100,000 for that. Additional concepts that might increase uptake include attributes that increase ease of use for male and female condoms. Oh, yeah. That's a big one. For example, no pun intended. For example, better packaging or designs that are easier to properly apply. In addition, no shit. In addition, attributes that address and overcome cultural barriers are also desired. Proposals must, one, have a testable hypothesis, two, include an associated plan for how the idea would be tested or validated, and three, yield interpretable and unambiguous data in phase one in order to be considered for phase two funding.
Dude, we could do this.
I don't know about that.
We just have to write this up. Okay. A few examples of work that would be considered for funding. Bullet point one, application of safe new materials that may preserve or enhance sensation, which they've already experimented with stuff like that. Development and testing of new condom shapes, designs that may provide an improved user experience. Don't they have that too?
Yeah.
Every time I use the bathroom at Santeria, which is shared with Mary's
Santeria.
Club. Santeria. I thought it was Santeria.
Yeah, Santeria.
They have one of those machines, you know, in front of you. Like, the guy goes, and the machine's, like, right there as a reminder. Like, put your 50 cents in. And they always have stuff like, you know, a pack of pictures and a tickler condom or something. Application of knowledge from, this is another bullet point. Application of knowledge from other fields. Oh, really? E.g. neurobiology, vascular biology, to new strategies for improving condom desirability.
I got it.
What?
So, first of all, the way that you would apply the future condom is that simply by having your erect rang.
The startup is called Looney Tunes Condoms.
I don't wet the wang.
So then you take the condom you simply like push your wang towards it so that it just like explodes.
Ooh.
So the condom like just goes onto you. And it's like, and then you have like a cock ring on it as well.
I like, you know what? We're thinking alike here. Dude, we're going to win this.
Yes.
I like it. Exploding condom. I mean, and we could sell it through social media.
Exactly.
We'll put it on Facebook and it'll be like, something like, cause men will have a problem with this. Something exploding around the penis will problem. So we'll just be like, don't be afraid of the exploding condom, right? It'll be like Pop Rocks. It'll be fun.
Exactly. People like Pop Rocks. People like pop condoms.
Exactly. We should do Pop Rocks someday on the show.
Dude, we got to do
followed up by After Hours. Now we're trying different condoms. Oh, God.
The After Hours cooking show?
Anyway.
Naked cooking
reminds me of one
naked cooking
local podcaster's episode of one of his shows once, very infamous show. But anyway, I like that. Actually, how about this? They want new materials, right? Okay, so check it out. There's a stuff, and I just saw it because had to do with a birthday party and stuff. But you know,
uncomfortable.
Well, I don't want to equate this discussion with another discussion. But it's the stuff that you buy, you know, it's like putty stuff. It's like a sludge. It's kind of fun. It's made out of
a silly putty, gack.
Yeah,
there's a lot of trade names for various
It used to be
types.
Called something where, and you pour it out and it looks like green slime. They used to call it slime, but they have all these, and that's really improved too. What if it was like something like that? That you just slid into the slime, which I would imagine would feel good. And then you're kind of off, and then there'd be like kind of this sheath that kind of formed and
hell, you could just put it over everything.
And oh yeah.
Exactly. You just like slime yourself up.
Wait a minute.
That's the best idea ever.
Well, there are people who like to, or so I here
we've heard,
like to like cover themselves in like saran wrap and stuff.
Exactly. So it's like that, but it's gooier.
yeah
I like this idea.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, wait. Okay, so we will not consider, though. No, we gotta make sure our idea works here.
Yeah, we also have to learn chemistry, but you know, whatever.
No, we just write it up.
Oh, okay.
We just come up with the idea and how we're going to do it.
And then we bribe the chemist.
And then we get the 100 grand, yeah.
Okay. Because I'm all about bribing the chemists.
Yeah, we could do that. We could just go find the local meth head cook and go, hey, dude, we need you to cook some exploding condom goo. It explodes and it kind of like
baps
on your penis and then kind of like seals it up and then you have sex.
Damn, I'll make 5 gallons.
Exactly.
That sounds great.
Oh.
Me and the missus, we're going to get to it.
No. Here's what we need. We need Fred McMurray, the nutty professor. The inventor of flubber.
I know, but...
Flubber condom.
No. Condom. That means that you won't, like...
It floats.
No, but you will float with it.
Guaranteed to keep your erection.
Oh.
Think about it. Think about it.
I finally
got it.
It's
floating.
Yeah, but wouldn't it make your balls float, too?
Well,
but then that might be painful because...
new sensations.
So what if, like, you know, like...
Wait, you're the one who wants to... customize it with a cock ring.
Well, right, but I'm just saying, like, what if that becomes like slightly uncomfortable after you're getting like? Is there an end point for the?
Yeah, you have to remove it at some point.
Right. I don't know if. Well, we'll see.
You have to take it off at some point.
I don't know if that would work with the female anatomy, but I guess it doesn't have to.
But then
how are we supposed to use it?
Women?
Yeah. What have you got, lady on lady love?
I've got it. Okay. Oh, no. Well, we'll get there in a minute. No, let's just talk about heterosexual sex. Okay, you're the lady. I'm a guy, all right? And things are going on. And so you take off your pants. So you're naked or, you know, and now it's time, right?
It's business time.
Okay, the lady, okay, here's what it is. Has the applicator, which looks like a space gun, like a ray gun. And so basically pulls it up, aims it at the crotch, pulls the trigger, shoots this shit all over his junk.
Oh my, no. I'm going to take it a step further. It's like, it's a can that you put on your arm, like the Spider-Man toy. She slings web at your penis.
Webs it. Just like,
yeah.
Like silly string almost. It's like,
right.
Ooh, that kind of sounds like fun.
Oh, it sounds great. Silly string is fun.
Write a note down to myself. Silly string.
Okay. Exactly.
I never played with it in that way. Anyway. Yeah. Oh, and like, you know, because it's the 21st century and people are all modern and stuff, and it's spring break, too, for God's sakes. It's spring break right now in Portland. So
you have like a hat of
it's
booze?
It's the time when the kids... the college kids go off and go to the beach and have sex. And so like you could be at parties and you know those little things, those little poppers that you have that you pull the string and it pops the confetti all over and people go, Happy New Year. You could have that with our product in it. And you just shoot it at his crotch. It's like, oh, ready to go.
Oh, baby.
And the first thing you do is this thing shoots at your nuts, engulfs it, and then makes you tingle. And then you're like, and then if it had flubber in it, you're just like, whoa, it's floating. Oh, my God. Yeah. But, yeah, it doesn't have to be guy-girl. It could be a guy-guy.
Well, that's pretty self-explanatory.
That would be great.
Oh, my God.
You guys shooting each other's nuts. Boom,
you
boom,
know, that'll be a thing.
It would totally be a thing.
I can picture, like, crazy gay porn and, yeah.
Oh, my God. We should totally do this as our startup. What would we call it? Shoot
flubber?
Your junk.
No, it'd be flubber, but without the E.
Oh.
It'd be like grinder, but flubbing.
You're like, what are we going to talk about today? And it's like, we've sat for like 15 minutes on Bill Gates' condom. This is great.
Bill Gates. This almost makes me want to play business time.
We will. Okay. We'll do that. We will do that. Well, the only thing we got to check is we will not consider funding for exclusivity. Exclusively non-technological, social, or educational interventions, right? So just like education and all that, right? Testing of existing commercially available products, okay. Proposals without a clearly articulated hypothesis or plan for testing and proposed products value in overcoming adherence issues. But we're on that. We are on that. We've got a solid proposal right here. And it's
I'm pretty sure we got it.
Concepts that are inherently too expensive for a developing world setting. I think we can get the pricing down. Concepts that would sacrifice the value of condoms for for prevention of either unplanned pregnancy or HIV infection. Of course, it's a condom. It's got to do what a condom's got to do. So, wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. Wow. Wow. What do you think?
I'm in.
Yeah, I think we've got a good idea. We'll you know what? We'll take a break and then we'll write this up. We'll start doing the PowerPoint. How about that?
That works.
Oh yeah. That's right, baby. Girl, tonight we're gonna make love. You know how I know, baby? 'Cause it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we make love. Tuesday night's the night that we go and visit your mother, but Wednesday night is the night that we make love.
That was fun.
That was cute. I think I was actually looking for Rufus Wainwright doing Careless Whisper, but this is just good. This is good enough.
So that was Ben Folds and
Ben Lee. Back when they were with the Bens.
Ah.
Yeah.
That was some live.
One of their live shows. I used to have the recording from the soundboard because I'm a nerd.
Oh, nice.
But I've noticed that my music collection has been shrinking, so.
Yes. Why is that?
Well, you know, there was a point when I had 24 days worth of music, and I think I tried to cut down.
Huh. What? So you just deleted it yourself.
Right, because I was trying to, I don't know why, but I think that was a long time ago, like 2008.
You know, before the future.
Before the future, I didn't have enough hard drive space.
Yeah, before the 21st century, when people had albums and tapes and records and CDs, usually you lost your music collection in a romantic dispute or the end of a, you know, it'd be like, well, who gets that record? Who gets that CD? Nowadays, though, I think it's, you know, since we all got iTunes and our stuff.
Oh, I just copy everything.
Yeah.
And then if I don't like it or if it reminds me of them too much, I just delete it.
Yeah. Because I always have to go back and go, oh, I had that album 20 years ago. Had. I need to download that again. Go buy that.
Yay.
Again. Yeah. So so we've established that you use condoms, Robin. Do you use Yahoo?
Yes. I use Yahoo for my protection.
Oh, really?
Not really. It just sounded good.
Does anyone use Yahoo anymore?
Well, I mean, okay, so are you using Yahoo, do you mean are you using Yahoo.com or are you accidentally using one of their acquired services begrudgingly?
Well, I don't know. I mean, so Flickr.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
That's one of their biggest acquired services.
It's kind of not sucking as much.
Well, you know, they, Marissa.
I mean, it's kind of the same level, but.
Yeah, it's Flickr. I go up on Flickr. Oh, I have a thing going on with Flickr, and they can't help me.
What?
I can't. Okay. I have two accounts on Flickr.
Okay.
The one account is a really, really old account.
Mm-hmm.
It has like a profile picture on there. And I'd like to just take it all down.
Yeah.
And the other one is the account that my Yahoo login, which mm-hmm. is my Flickr login. So I have my old account there and it's just sitting there under my name. And, I wanted to get rid of it. I want either the account deleted, the picture, or just access. And so I sent them an email and they're like, oh, well, you have to recover your password and all this stuff. And it's like, I don't know the password. That's the whole point. It was set up like in 2004 or 2005 or something. Who knows when it was set up. I just want to get in there, or you guys can just delete it. I'm the guy. Just delete. That's my picture. Just delete it, you know? And they can't help me. So there's that.
Are you sure you're who you say you are?
Yeah. I mean, well, that's the problem. And I had a similar problem with my cousin with iTunes. Oh, my God. I may rant about this in a week because I'm trying to figure out what the problem is here. But anyway, and it's the same thing. It's a verification. I mean, I gave my godson a gift card. They had a little problem getting into their account. They got it. They have the password. They've downloaded. They purchased songs before on their iTunes on a PC. They have his iPod that they transfer the songs to, and I give them for Christmas a gift card, and they plugged in the gift card, and Apple said before you make this purchase with the gift card that is in their account, they have to answer three questions, and they have no idea what the three questions are. And if you call support, they just thumb your nose at you. So like $20 out the door. So I'm going to be following up with Apple about that. But that's unacceptable. You just lost $20. I mean, what's wrong with Apple? And you know, you're talking to a call center. But I will have a follow up on that. I'm that's just a side rant. Nothing's happened
it's
yet.
It's not the main rant.
No, the main rant
it's
is
a rant appetizer.
I just went up to yahoo.com. And
would you like some fries with your rant?
Wow. I have to say, yahoo.com, it's still very purple.
Hey, that's their color.
Yeah.
You can't knock them if they look good in purple, okay?
Well, Marissa Meyer, hey, why don't we choose a different color? That purple is not, it doesn't, I don't know. It's
because everything is blue on the internet, and I'm really kind of tired of the blue.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's because Yahoo's homepage doesn't look that different. But you know what? It looks less loud than it used to. Less 90s. I'm not really...
Got the trending.
I kind of wish they would start improving the things that they purchase and not just purchase things and flail about.
Well, you know, they are trying to make a comeback. So Marissa Meyer, from formerly of Google, is their new CEO. And we can talk about that in a minute. But they're trying to make a comeback, and they are still acquiring and purchasing and making changes. The cool thing is...
Have they thought about thinking of something that they've made themselves? Is that too weird of a concept?
No. It's much easier to acquire and buy something. And the place that they're acquiring is high school. Yeah, they're just going to high schoolers and acquiring. Because this week, Yahoo acquires a 17-year-old's new startup. So a 17-year-old kid just sold his startup that he started when he was 15 years old for $30 million to Yahoo, according to this article in Mashable. The startup was Sumly, S-U-M-M-L-Y. Thank God Sumly has a modern 21st century web name, Web 2.0. Sumly was founded in late 2001. This is Nick D'Alessio. He's a Londoner, I believe, from the UK. He raised $300,000 at age 15, and then a second round of $1.23 million that included Zynga co-founders and Ashton Kutcher and some other folks. And so they just sold this thing. He just sold this 17 years old.
So what is it?
Yahoo millionaire. I don't know. It's Sumly.
How does Yahoo get money Sumly to like buy this
stuff?
Oh, here
we go. Sumly is an iPhone app designed to allow users to quickly find news they're interested in. It aggregates and displays snapshots of articles from a variety of news sources using artificial intelligence and natural language processing. Users can separate them into customizable categories like art and design or Apple. There you go. That's what it is. Yeah, you know, but good for him. I mean, so I think the next accelerator, because, you know, like...
Is that the answer to journalism?
Yeah. Kids, next accelerator, next startup thing, just put it in a high school. Put it in grade school. Put it in kindergarten. Kids have great ideas. Just throw money at kids. If you're, let's just say this, if you're over 18, You're through. You're done, dude. No startup for you.
I'll just be a janitor. You're,
yeah. Don't trust anybody over 18. You just so they'll be like startup accelerators in high schools, in middle schools, in grade schools, and you know your kids will be millionaires.
Why does this remind me of an episode of Daria?
I know. Oh, I love that.
Do you know what episode I'm talking about?
No, but I love that show. I used to watch it.
So there was I finally was able to find all of the episodes, torrent them, and so I occasionally have Daria marathons. So there was one episode of Daria.
Invite me.
Okay. Where this woman who's I think a marketing agent or something goes to Lawndale High and tries to get into the minds of teenagers.
Uh-huh. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, to be one of them. And then, you know, Daria discovers that she's just trying to capture her misplaced youth.
Right, right. Yeah. No, I remember that one. That was
a good
one. That was a good one. And that's exactly what, you know, the incubator, accelerator, whatever you call those things, those startup.
I'm too old for this crap.
Call it a startup mosh pit. It's fun. It's for the kids.
No.
Startup mosh pit. You know, just like our awesome idea.
No, it's a startup ball pit. And teenagers go and do it in the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese.
Whee!
But
I
instead
don't think
they
teenagers
get,
go to Chuck E. Cheese.
No. The teenagers that work at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
If there's still teenagers that work at Chuck E. Cheese. Is there still a thing with that name?
The ball gun?
No, the amusement.
I'm trying to make up a name for our product.
Oh well, keep trying.
Maybe we don't use the word gun.
No.
Yeah. So the only problem is Mr. D'Alessio. Did I say his name was? Yeah. Unfortunately, Mr. Nick D'Alessio. Now that he's a multimillionaire at Yahoo.
What do you do after that?
Well, you don't work from home. That's the one thing you don't do. You will be getting your butt into the office because that's what everyone at Yahoo must
do. At 17? That's terrible.
Get your butt in the office. Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
So instead of taking the school bus, does he take like the metro? Oh, not the metro. What do they call it in England? In London?
The
tube?
The tube.
Yeah.
The tube. That's what we could call it, the tube.
The goo tube?
The goo tube. The goo tube.
Ew.
I like that.
It sounds slightly revolting.
The goo tube. The pleasure tube. No, that's something else.
That's terrible.
Do you have another song for us?
I can have another song.
Well, let's take a break, and then when we're going to come back, we'll talk about Twitter. I think.
Okay.
And okay, Cupid. In our okay, Cupid segment.
That's why you're going to learn how to use the mixy thing that I have, my tiny mixy thing that I still don't know how to use.
I'm in a mood.
In a mood, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm sitting here doing that. Was I kineticking? Kinetic. What is that thing that you came up with? That kinetic.
Oh, kinetic orality? I didn't come up with that one.
No, I know.
But
it's the first time I ever heard of it.
Oh, well, I wish that I could remember what the name of the woman who did the research.
That's so cool.
Why, thank
we
you.
We should talk about that someday.
Someday we'll talk about that talk that I did last year at Open Source Bridge.
I know.
It's okay.
Now we established that you use condoms.
Yes.
And maybe Yahoo.
Yeah.
Twitter?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, everybody that's listening probably knows my love-hate relationship with Twitter. Mostly hate. Although I like it now.
Yeah.
It's been a lot better than it was when I started using it.
Well, Twitter turned 7 years old this week. Actually, a few days ago.
I just picture it eating paste.
And, in fact, I have a little tiny soundbite that I posted up on my YouTube of Dom Segallo, which was one of the early employees of Odeo, which is what Twitter came out of when they reinvented themselves. And just take a brief little listen here.
And we had a week-long brainstorming session, and I was lucky enough to be in the group with Jack Dorsey, the inventor of Twitter, mm-hmm. when he described the idea for the first time. And he talked about a service that would keep us connected no matter where we were and share the status of what we were doing wherever we were. And originally it was an SMS, a group SMS application.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a very simple web interface. There was no RSS or of any kind, no syndication. You didn't even have, at first, we didn't even have the follow command that was invented a couple of days later.
So that was part of the talking about the origins of Twitter. Odeo, the company that they worked for, that Jack Dorsey and those guys worked for, or their company, was a podcast player and podcast catcher. In fact,
when I got into
podcasting, I actually ended up using Odeo. In fact, at the time during that interview, I had mentioned to him that, oh, we still use the Odeo player, because the Odeo player had still been around. It was a very good embeddable player. But
whatever happened to that podcasting stuff?
Well, what happened is Apple took it over and kind of that sunk kind of the independent podcasting world and sunk audio. And then the next thing that happened is, like Dom said there, Jack Dorsey had an idea for messaging and keeping in touch, and that 7 years later is Twitter. And
Twitter killed podcasting?
No, Apple killed podcasting, even though they invented
Apple bludgeoned podcasting.
Which, by the way,
except if you ask Adam Curry, he will say, "I'm the father of podcasting." Well, blah blah blah. But nobody gives a
actually
crap about what he says.
You know what? None of them killed podcasting. The company that's suing everyone for using the name podcasting and suing with their patents, they're the ones who are killing podcasting. So we use Twitter, and I was looking through because Twitter has become such a thing in 7 years.
Dude, my cousin has Twitter. That's how messed up everything is.
I know.
Although it's kind of interesting to see what normal people talk about.
What I think is interesting is looking at how many accounts you have on Twitter.
Oh.
That's always the thing. It's like, well, how many accounts do I have? 20 accounts here. Mashable did this thing. Do you fit the profile of the tech industry's most obnoxious tweeters?
Yep.
I really like this. If you've ever been the victim of an unfollow on Twitter, you may just fit the profile of an obnoxious tweeter. Do you think there's obnoxious tweeters out there, tech tweeters?
Oh, I'm pretty sure I am the obnoxious tweeter.
Really?
Yeah, either or my friend.
Well, let's see.
A friend of mine on Twitter, who I will not mention his name, but everybody probably knows who he is, likes to curate poop.
You're not sitting next to that friend, are you?
No. Don't worry.
Okay. Maybe you recognize some of these obnoxious tech. These are tech tweeters. Let's take a look. The hardcore developer. Again, this is up on Mashable. The slow news day again. The hardcore developer tweet, and they have an example tweet here. So here's the hardcore developer, and here would be this hardcore developer's tweet. Plenty to teach the uneducated at Tech Ed NA. I feel like Neo in the Matrix, seeing the world in code while everyone else is stuck to a screen. Ooh.
I've never heard a tweet like that seen such thing.
No, their comment is, not only am I better coder than you, I'm cooler too. I'm so cool, I can even make pop culture references in real time. So you haven't seen someone like that?
No.
Kind of just like posts is like, oh, coding like a madman. Ooh.
Not really.
Probably a little less among people around. How about the know-it-all developer?
Okay.
Do you know the know-it-all developer?
I don't know. Let's see.
Okay. Example tweet would be, workshop in progress with my team at build conference. Just finished my own code. Now helping out two colleagues. Just call me # code monkey. This says, I'm both brilliant and generous. Just call me # code Gandhi.
Oh, I was thinking, I mean,
yes,
there's a level of self-promotion in Twitter
exactly.
that everyone does. And so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, okay, how about this one? The eventaholic. I kind of like this one. Tweet, meeting so many interesting people at hashtag Loeb. And the take on it is, met one semi-interesting person, left in a hurry, now all alone. Maybe tweeting can help me get over my self-consciousness. But that's always a thing, right? When people go to conferences and they're tweeting like, oh, it's, I don't know. No?
I don't know.
How about
this? I'm trying to think about this, actually.
How about the no friends conference attendee? Where's a good place to tweet? Where's a good place to grab food around downtown San Fran? Hashtag TC Disrupt. Hashtag Good Eats. Hashtag Hungry Techie. Hashtag. And their interpretation is, really don't want to eat alone and look like a loser. Anyone want to be my friend for the next hour?
Oh, I was just thinking, there's lots of people on Twitter that are,
I think that's
right. I think, you know, part of, although it's funny because like part of the reason you go to conferences is not for the conference, but to actually learn how to meet and talk to people around.
Yeah. Or just in general, like just around here, like in Portland, you're like, oh, I'm like all alone and I'm going to go eat or go hang out. And I like kind of don't want to hang out alone. So people are like, oh, heading down to
blah, blah, blah. So blah, blah, maybe blah. You'll catch me over there.
Exactly.
Instead of actually making some kind of, although I find that.
I think no one shows up.
No, that's usually what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had that.
I've given
introduction
up on that.
Introduction to the disruptive power of Twitter was I once posted where I was at having a meal with family, and someone on Twitter saw that and showed up.
Huh.
And and it was like a huh moment. It was like, oh, that wasn't an invitation. So I stopped posting where I would be when I was with family. And often I don't post anyway. I mean,
yeah, I think
it's pretty
that's
pathetic
a,
if you tweet. It's like, hi. I'm
I
here.
Think that's a problem if you have a lot of followers.
Yeah. Well, it was weird. I learned a lot from that experience.
The only people that follow me are my friends, and that's okay. Actually, which is an interesting corollary because I noticed my cousin's use of Twitter is precisely that. It's like to constantly broadcast like where they're going, what they're doing.
Okay.
Instead of text messaging, because there's a lot of text messages.
I know.
And she texts as well. But it's a lot more, her group of friends are a lot more social. They're a lot more you know, but they're also teenagers, so they have a very limited amount of they have a limited ability to go places and do things. You know, somebody has to have a car, someone has to like, you know, pick someone up from over here, or maybe everyone's like, you know, I guess she's not a teenager anymore, although she's still anyway. But yeah, that's their use of Twitter.
It's you know that. Yeah,
is that, to be hypersocial.
Well, and that's the whole thing. It's like you know, everyone's broadcasting everything now, and I don't think that's so good. I mean, it's like Facebook, Twitter. It's like you're always constantly like, I did this, I did that. I'm hanging out with this person. I mean, I don't broadcast who I'm hanging out with or what I'm doing, mostly because.
Well, right.
I was going to say mostly because it's illegal. No, it's not.
But I mean, if people are growing up in a land of without privacy, like
there
is
no privacy. It's like everyone's telling everybody what
they're doing. No. I mean that privacy is not expected to. You're not expected to have any privacy. Period. Yeah. So you might as well just go the other way.
Well, I mean, how private are you? You're pretty private, actually.
Am I?
Yeah.
No, I've been described as aloof, but I'm pretty open.
Yeah, but you. I mean, I'm talking about on like Facebook and Twitter.
Though. Oh no.
I mean, you don't post out who you're with and what you're doing and that.
Well,
sort of thing.
I mean, I post about, you know, if I'm teaching a workshop or.
Yeah, but that's different. That's kind of like a public thing in advertising. Speaking of which, this weekend.
Oh, right. We have 5 minutes and we better.
Speaking of which, that little soundbite we had of Dom Segala was at Bar Camp 2009. And Bar Camp is this week. Bar Camp.
Bar Camp.
Portland.barcamp.org or just go barcamp.org or do it. And you're going to have your little installation.
Yeah, I warned the home listeners. I finally figured out how to do my installation. So I would say it's not going to be amazing, But at least I put the source code online and you can be like, hey, wow, your thing compiled.
Cool. That'll be interesting.
So I'm going to be mildly excited about that.
I'm excited about Barcamp. So haven't been in a while. I want to see what unfolds there.
I would go to Barcamp, but I'm moving.
Oh. Okay. Again. Oh, yeah. We talked about this, right?
Yeah. I'm actually moving into a nice house with a garage and a basement.
Yeah. We talked about this. Now you're broadcasting what you're doing.
Well, that's... Otherwise, I'd go to Barcamp.
Okay.
Maybe.
I thought you were going to be there. Anyway.
Well, I was going to be there, but that was the only day I could get the movers.
Maybe we'll talk about the challenge.
The challenge?
The condom challenge. Maybe we'll talk about our idea.
You should do that. I'll just
I think it would be better
with
if
my
you
everyday
did
life.
It.
Okay.
A guy talking about anything quasi-sexual at a conference is not going to go over well.
Yeah,
as we know.
It's going to be bad.
It's going to be very bad. But fun. I have other great ideas too.
Ooh.
Yeah. Just two words, video shorts. And I'm not going to...
I won't spoil the joke.
But that'll be next in another week or two. But in the meantime, prophylactic goo that we shoot at each other's junk sounds pretty fun.
man.
What else are you going to do, right? If you want to make it more pleasurable and better. I mean... I thought we solved some of those problems.
I don't know.
Definitely the high point of the show came about an hour ago.
Yeah. Should I play us out?
I think so. I'm winking at you going, what do we got? What do you got for
us? I got some music.
Okay.
I'm going to play Taliban de Amor.
Ah, okay.
Might as well.
All right. Have a great week, everybody. You have a great week too, Robin Police.
And you too, Doc Normal.
Thank you.